Thank you, praise team, for leading us out today. Man, I've enjoyed my time with you all so far. Coming south of the river to have some worship with you guys. So to introduce myself, my name is Matt Doan, and I serve as student pastor at Salem Baptist Church. We are located in North Knoxville, if you know where the Halls community is. I am so thankful that your pastor, Pastor Matt, asked me to come and preach today. We're good friends. I love and respect your pastor. He is a great guy. Man, just does ministry the right way, loves people, loves the Lord. And he actually introduced me to my new favorite chicken place. I don't know if you know this, but he's a huge fan of Disco Chicken in Kern's Food Hall, which it is the best chicken I've ever had in my life. So I'm very thankful for that. I still go back and get chicken pretty rarely there. But you guys are so blessed with him as your pastor. And I know, man, he is away today. So he asked me to come and speak. And so, I've been serving in full-time student ministry for the last 16 years, primarily in the East Tennessee area and the Knoxville and surrounding areas area. Moved down to Georgia, north of Atlanta, for 6 years before I moved back about a year and a half ago. Huge Braves fans. Any Braves fans in the room? I'm getting a lot of blank looks. I don't know. Maybe a couple. Awesome. All right. Lived about 30 minutes from the Braves Stadium down there. So it was a lot of fun, but I'm very thankful that God called me back to serve in East Tennessee. This is where my family is. This is where my home is. And I'm very passionate to do ministry here. So today, as we get started, Pastor Matt began a series called Rediscover. And throughout the summer, you guys are going to be going through stories that you may have heard of as a kid, but you're going to look at those stories throughout the summer. And so I felt very fortunate because I got one of the first picks of the stories, and I picked Daniel in the Lion's Den. So if you want to go ahead and turn your Bibles tonight to Daniel chapter 6, we're going to camp out there primarily today. But I want us to think about for a second, when you think about all of the stories that you heard as a kid, you could probably recall some of the popular stories. You know, like we have David and Goliath, we have Noah's Ark, we have stories like we're going to talk about tonight, Daniel and the Lion's Den. And I remember as a kid, after hearing these stories, I remember going away from those stories thinking, man, how great the characters are. Like David, right? How awesome is it that he defeated Goliath, right? When we talk about Daniel, I'm thinking, man, Daniel's awesome. He survived the lion's den. Didn't really know a lot about the theological impact of the story at the time. But man, just left thinking, these are great guys. They did some awesome things. And so as I've gotten older and more better understanding of scripture, I guess is the better way to put it, I've realized that, man, God can use anybody he wants to accomplish his purpose. And throughout his word, he uses men and women to do some extraordinary things that they couldn't do without his power. So when we look at this story today of Daniel, we're going to talk about the topic of courage, right? So we're going to talk about courage. Let me ask you real quick, how many of you like to do things that take you out of your comfort zone? Oh, wow, a couple of you. Okay, I'm surprised I got some hands there. All right, so here's the thing. For a lot of us, we like to play it safe, right? There's not a lot of things we like to do that goes out of our comfort zone. So like you can talk about like skydiving, roller coasters. You can talk about like, you know, snow skiing, a lot of different things. There's two things that I just despise doing. In fact, I just stay away from them altogether. The two things are snow skiing and water skiing. Now, here's the reason why I don't do those things. I don't go water skiing because my idea of fun isn't being pulled behind a boat at 80 miles an hour, and it goes wherever the driver goes, and if I hit a wake, you know, I'm not in control. I don't like that. And then I don't snow ski because my idea of fun is not going down a mountain full speed and then getting to the bottom. I've never learned the art of stopping. So I tried the ice cream cone thing. I tried the pizza thing, but I would just fall at the bottom of the hill, and my skis and poles would go everywhere. So those are two things I don't enjoy doing. And the primary reason why I don't enjoy doing those things is because I don't feel like I'm in control. And a lot of us stay away from things where we don't feel like we're in control. But when we think about those things, I want us to understand that when it comes to our spiritual walk, our life with Christ, There are so many times and seasons in our life that God puts us in situations where we simply just feel out of control. Maybe it's a change in a job. Maybe it's maybe you move to a new town. There's a lot of different things we go through that we have to have courage in and strength in the Lord that will get us through those things. And so as we talk about this story today, I want to ask this question. I want you to think about this as we go through the story of Daniel in the lion's den. And this is the question. Where do we find our courage when the Lord puts us in a situation that we may feel out of control? Where do we find our courage when the Lord puts us in a situation where we may feel out of control? I believe some of the greatest opportunities to serve the Lord come through times when we feel like we are out of control. And the only thing we have is our relationship with God. And we have to trust Him above all other things. You see, the story of Daniel is a story that teaches us of what true courage looks like in the Lord when Daniel's life seemed to be falling apart. So to understand the story of Daniel in the lion's den, we kind of have to understand a little bit of context of what's going on in the book of Daniel. So if we go all the way back to chapter one, and we're not going to read that, but if we were to go back to chapter one, you see this situation that Daniel's in. So Daniel and his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were serving the Lord in their homeland, and then the Babylonian exile took place. So they were taken from their land and taken to Babylon. Now, Babylon was a place that was opposed to God. There was no fear. There was no respect for the Lord in Babylon. It was ran by King Nebuchadnezzar, and he was a very narcissistic man. He was all about worship of himself, didn't have any regard for the Lord, right? So they're going from a place where they could worship God freely, where they could be devoted to God, to a place where nobody really worshiped God. And so as they go to Babylon, they're tested right away. So Daniel and his friends were selected to be a part of the king's training program. So they fit all the criteria of, you know, meeting, you know, the way they looked, their age. They were young teenage boys. So they were entered into this king's training program. And right off the bat in the book of Daniel, they are tested in their faith. So as they're going through this training program, they're offered food to eat, and they have to go through training. They have to eat certain kind of foods like physical fitness, stuff like that. And so they're offered this food, but they don't want to eat of the food because the food could have been offered to idols. So they want to be obedient to God, and they're still following the law to a T, like they are, and they're doing it because they love the Lord and they're trying to honor and glorify Him. So when they're offered the king's food, they refuse to eat it. And they tell the officials, they say, hey, listen, test us in this. Like, let us go a certain amount of days without eating this food, and we just are going to drink water and eat vegetables. And so they do this, and the Lord provides through this. And at the end of the trial period, they're found to be healthier and stronger than any other person in this training program. So that's the first test. Then as you go through the book of Daniel, time and time again, Daniel and his friends are tested over and over again, but they remain faithful to the Lord over and over again, even when their own life is at stake. So King Nebuchadnezzar has a dream in one of the chapters, and it's more of a nightmare, and he wants to understand how to interpret this dream. So he calls all the magicians and all the wise men in Babylon to come interpret this dream. Well, nobody could interpret the dream for him. So Daniel speaks up King Nebuchadnezzar gets so upset with this, he says, you know what? I'm just gonna have all of the wise men in Babylon executed because nobody can translate my dream. So Daniel speaks up and says, wait a minute, I'll translate your dream. And God gives Daniel a vision, and Daniel translates King Nebuchadnezzar's dream. And after this happens, King Nebuchadnezzar starts to get a little bit softer, and he begins to have a little more respect for God and is amazed at the power of the God that Daniel serves. And then when we continue on, we see stories like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego going into the fiery furnace for not bowing down to a golden image, yet they remained faithful to God, and God protected them in that furnace and had a plan. And God's plan all along was for Daniel and his friends to go into this society that had no regard and no fear for God, and to lead others to know Him and to be a witness there. And so we see it firsthand with King Nebuchadnezzar. The more that he sees Daniel's faith and Daniel being obedient to God, man, he starts to see, man, this God is powerful. Like, this God is incredible. And eventually, King Nebuchadnezzar comes to a point where he serves and respects God. So it's an incredible story. If you've never read through the book of Daniel, I'd encourage you, if you're looking for a book to read during your quiet time, it's filled with some incredible stories and just how God is at work. But the thing that we see in Daniel is that Daniel remains faithful no matter what. That he not only talks the talk, but he walks the walk. And it's evident in Daniel's life throughout this book that he loves God more than he fears man, more than he's afraid of anything that will happen to him. And Daniel, because he feared the Lord and because he was doing some incredible things, King Nebuchadnezzar, like I said, he came to know the Lord, and Daniel was promoted in Babylon. And he got really high up in as a part of a government official, and things were going great until things changed. So before we get into the story of Daniel in the lion's den, we see a new king take over, and that's King Darius. Now, Darius, it says it clear in God's word that Darius had a respect for Daniel and really respected him, even though Darius didn't serve the Lord at the time, but he had a respect for Daniel. And so, but other people didn't because they were jealous of Daniel. So let's get into Daniel chapter 6, verses 1 through 9 and kind of see what's going on. And we're going to end up reading through verse 28, but I'm going to kind of break it down in three different sections. So starting in verse 1, God's inspired word says this: "It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be throughout the whole kingdom, and over them three high officials of whom Daniel was one, to whom these satraps should give account, to that the king might suffer no loss. Then this Daniel became distinguished above all the other high officials and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Then the high officials and the satraps sought to find a ground for complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom, but they could not find no ground for complaint or any fault because he was faithful and no error or fault was found in him. Then these men said, 'We shall not find any ground for complaint against this Daniel unless we find it in connection with the law of his God.' Then these high officials and satraps came by agreement to the king and said to him, 'O King Darius, live forever. All the high officials of the kingdom, the prefects and the satraps, the counselors and the governors are agreed that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce an injunction that whoever makes petition to any god or man for 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the injunction and sign the document so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked.' Therefore, King Darius signed the document and injunction." So let's stop here for a second. If you're taking notes this afternoon, the first thing is this: seasons may change, but God remains the same. Seasons may change, but God remains the same. So Daniel, he had already gone through a lot of change in his life. He had been taken from his homeland. He had been basically captured and taken to Babylon as a part of the exile, and his whole kind of world was rocked. But yet he stayed faithful to God. He continued to pray to God. He continued to worship God. And it became evident over time to the people of Babylon that there was something different about Daniel. He didn't do the things that everybody else did. He didn't embrace all the traditions or the cultural norms of Babylon because he loved God more than anything else. And as the government officials gather together, you can tell they are extremely jealous of Daniel. And so they come up with this plan where they get King Darius to sign in an injunction, basically saying if anybody prays to any other god for the next 30 days, that they would be thrown into the lion's den. So it's important to see this story and understand that Daniel was going through change again, right? He'd already been taken from his homeland. Now there's a new king in place. And if you have a job and you've ever had a new boss or you've had any type of transition in your life, you know that that can all come with different things, right? What was normal once may not be normal now, and there may be change coming. So that was in Daniel's case, right? He was going through a bunch of change. And I don't know about you, but I don't like change. I don't know if you, I mean, change is hard sometimes, right? Like, I think we get into our comfortable little bubble sometimes, and we like everything to just run the same way and be the same, and we're good with that, right? But I truly believe that God works through change, right? God can allow change to happen in our life for His glory and for our good, right? So growing up, I moved around a lot growing up. Because of my dad's job, we kind of moved around the Carolinas, South Carolina, North Carolina. Both my parents are from Knoxville and graduated from UT. But because of my dad's job, we moved around a lot growing up. But and you know, I learned how to adapt to change. But there was one move that was probably harder for me than any of the other moves. And that was the move, believe it or not, to Knoxville. Now, this is what made it so hard. It was hard because it was my junior year of high school. We were living in Columbia, South Carolina, had a lot of friends down there. I played football. And it was a great time. And I remember my parents met with me and said, and my sister, and they said, "Hey, dad just got a job at the University of Tennessee. We're moving back to Knoxville." And I begged them to let me stay in South Carolina and finish out my high school years. But I, you know, they said since I was just a junior, they wanted me to move and come back to Knoxville with them. And so I moved with them, and I ended up going to Powell High School. I don't know if we have any Powell people. I know we're in South Knoxville, but I'm a Powell Panther. Went to Powell, went there for 2 years, and it was really hard at first. But here's what I say in all of that. Sometimes change is hard. And we look at change and we think, man, like, why is this happening? Why do I have to go through this? But we don't understand God has an ultimate purpose through that change in our life. If I were to look back on my life and even my ministry now, I wouldn't even be in ministry if it wasn't for me moving to Knoxville. Because I got involved in a solid church and a great student ministry. I had a group of pastors really invest in me and give me opportunities to intern and do ministry. I would have met my wife, Catherine, which I meant to bring her up earlier. I'm married to my wife, Catherine. We've been married for 13 years. We have an 8-year-old son named Isaiah. And none of that would have happened if I would have been selfish and said, "Hey, just let me stay in South Carolina." Because it was God's purpose and His will to move us all this time. And so the question is not, will we have change in our life? Because we will have change. We will go through seasons of change and transition. But the question is, how are we remaining faithful to God through it, through that change? And Daniel paints us a beautiful picture of a man who loved God more than anything else. So although there was a new king in town, although things were changing, Daniel was going to remain faithful no matter what. And here, I want to read you a verse from Hebrews. Hebrews 13:8 says this: "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever." So I just want to encourage you. Maybe you're here this evening and you're going through some kind of change or transition in life. I just want to encourage you that, man, the same God that has brought you through all the other seasons in your life is still with you, and He loves you. And we know that we can trust in Him no matter what. And so when we read Daniel, we see this beautiful picture that he's going to find courage in knowing his Lord because he never faltered on that. He stayed faithful to God no matter what because he saw God come through for him time and time again. So when we read this story, and we're going to get into the lions here in a minute, we need to understand that Daniel loved God more than anything else. And it didn't matter when things changed around him. It didn't matter when life seemed to be falling apart because he knew who was in control. So let's pick up again and read. This is going to be just a few verses, chapter 10 through 15. Let's see what happens next after King Darius signs in this injunction. It says, "When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. Then these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and plea before his God. Then they came near and said before the king concerning the injunction, 'O king, did you not sign an injunction that anyone who makes petition to any god or man within 30 days except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?' The king answered and said, 'This, the thing stands fast according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be revoked.' Then they answered and said before the king, 'Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or the injunction you have signed, but makes his petition 3 times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was much distressed and set his mind to deliver Daniel, and he labored till the sun went down to rescue him. Then these men came by agreement to the king and said to the king, "Know, O king, that it is the law of the Medes and Persians that no injunction or ordinance that the king establishes can be changed." So the next thing in your notes this evening is our devotion to God evident? Is our devotion to God evident? Now, I want to be very clear about this, and I don't want you to misunderstand me. I'm not saying to be devoted to God necessarily to be seen. Right? Like I think, and I'm going to talk about this in a second, but I think so often we can get wrapped into this mentality of, man, what I do for the Lord should be seen by others. The Bible speaks against that, right? When we serve the Lord, we do it from a heart that truly yearns and desires for Him. But what I'm saying with this point is that are we so in tune to God's will for our life? Are we so devoted to our relationship with God that when we spend any amount of time with someone, that they see that our relationship with God is important, that it's a big deal to us. Because when we see the story of Daniel, before he gets thrown into the lion's den, right, these officials that made King Darius and tricked him to sign this injunction, they knew that no matter what was told of Daniel, if it was gonna go against his worship of the Lord and his faithfulness to the Lord, that he wasn't gonna give into it. Man, what an incredible story. That people could look at Daniel's life and know that he was so devoted and faithful to God that he was going to remain faithful even when his own life was at risk. So I love the way this passage puts it, because right after the king signs this document, it says immediately after it, Daniel goes back to his house and does exactly what he does every single day. He had the windows open, so it's not like he went home and hid in a closet or hid somewhere so that nobody would see him. He was fine with, you know what, if I get thrown into the lion's den for being faithful to God, then so be it, because he made a decision. I'm gonna continue being faithful to God like I have all my life, because he is faithful to me. And so it's funny how he went back and he prayed, and he did it where everybody could hear him, everybody could see him, not to bring glory to himself, but because that's what he had always done. And so as he does this, we see the officials find him, and they reported it back to King Darius, which was eventually going to put him into the lion's den. But we look at that example, and the question I want to ask is, do people know what our priorities in life are? Right? If someone were to follow you around for an entire day, and at the end of that day, would they be able to say, man, I spent all day with that person, and I think one of the biggest priorities in their life is their relationship with Jesus Christ, right? I'm not saying this to you to try to beat you down tonight, but it's a genuine question I think we all have to ask, because part of my testimony is this. So growing up, church and ministry was always a big deal in my family. So, you know, from the time I came into this world, I was at church every Sunday. I was at church every Wednesday, went to Vacation Bible School my entire life, went to summer camp my entire life, went on summer mission trips, right? If they had like a Baptist Boy Scouts, I would have like every patch you can imagine, like on the vest, right? Because I did it all. And I remember there were days that I begged my mom not to make me go to church. And she would be like, well, if you don't go to church, you have to sit in your bed all day. And I'm like, okay, well, I'll go to church then, because I don't want to. That was like the worst punishment for me as a kid, was having to stay in bed all day. And it wasn't till I was in college when I really realized that, man, I had been doing all the right things. I'd been doing good things. I'd been staying away from bad things. But my heart was far from the Lord. And in college, I realized that, man, Jesus wants it all. He wants me to be fully centered on Him. He doesn't want me just to be devoted to Him on Sundays when I attend a church service, or, you know, to act one way around my Christian friends and one way or another. Like, He deserves it all. He wants to be the center of my life. And my life completely changed when I had that encounter with God, and I truly surrendered my life to Him. And I realized that, man, doing the good things doesn't mean anything if your heart is far from the Lord. So when we read this story about Daniel, and when we see his devotion to God, even when he knew he was gonna be thrown into a lion's den, what it teaches us is, man, this is a man who loved God more than he loved anything else, and he was gonna be devoted to God. And I would tell you that when we finally understand the goodness of God and the goodness of the gospel, the good news that Jesus Christ saves us, that we were eternally separated from him in our sin, but Jesus came at the right time and he lived a perfect life. Then he went to a cross and died for our sins, and then he was resurrected. That is the greatest truth that we can ever hear, that we can ever respond to, that we can ever live for. And when I understood that, it changed everything for me. And I realized that you know, just talking about Jesus all the time doesn't mean you necessarily love Jesus. Doing all the right things doesn't mean your heart is necessarily in the right place. But at the end of the day, God cares more about, are you being centered on him? Do you care more about your relationship with him than anything else? There was a pastor who came to Salem a few weeks ago named Randy Davis. Randy Davis is the president of the Tennessee Baptist Mission Board. And maybe you've heard of him, maybe not, but he gave this illustration that really impacted me. He said, the average person has 80,000 encounters with other people throughout the course of their life. And then he brought up this illustration. He said, imagine getting to the end of your life and standing in a stadium or an arena full of all those people that you encountered in your lifetime. He asked three questions. He said, would they cheer for you? Would they boo for you? Or would they not even know you? And he gave that illustration, and it just really impacted me because I think to myself, man, am I making a difference for the kingdom in my everyday life, right? Can people see that my relationship with Jesus is a priority, and how am I sharing that with others, right? How like with Daniel, everybody knew he was devoted to God. It was evident in his life, right? And like I said earlier, I'm not saying this to do it, to be seen, you know, to be weird. Like I'm doing it, like has your heart truly been regenerated through the gospel of Jesus Christ? Are you living for Jesus every single day of your life? Now, I'm not saying we have to be perfect because we're never gonna be perfect, but is the overall theme and pattern of our life constantly coming to Jesus and asking him to take control of our life? You know, Daniel had made such an impression on the people of Babylon that they knew that signing this injunction, he would be found guilty because he was gonna do what he always did. He was gonna go home and pray to God. So what an incredible testimony though for Daniel, knowing because he was so faithful to God that he was gonna slip up in this. So he's about to be thrown into the lion's den. Interesting story, I Googled how long a human being would last if they were thrown into a lion's den. Does anybody wanna take a guess of how long they think somebody would last? Anybody think it's 1 minute, 2 minutes? 3 minutes, 4 minutes. All right, so here's what I found. So it says that a human would only last seconds to 2 minutes when being thrown into a lion's den. Listen to these statistics about a lion. Lions are apex predators that often go for the neck to kill instantly. With males weighing up to 500 pounds and possessing 3-inch fangs, they actually have 1,000 PSI bite pressure, often going for the neck. So I know this sounds like pretty brutal, pretty gruesome, right? But if you've ever been to like the Knoxville Zoo and you've been near a lion, like I think lions are actually beautiful animals, but I would never want to be in a cage with one, right? Like that would be extremely scary. And this is what Daniel had at stake, right? In order for him to be faithful to God, he knew that this would be the punishment for being faithful, that he was gonna be thrown into a lion's den, right? So let's look at the next part of the story and see what happens when he gets thrown into the lion's den. Daniel 6, verse 16 through 28, it says this, then the king commanded and Daniel was brought and cast into the den of lions. The king declared to Daniel, may your God, whom you serve continually, deliver you. And a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that nothing might be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. No diversions were brought to him, and sleep fled from him. Then at break of day, the king arose and went in haste to the den of lions. As he came near to the den where Daniel was, he cried out in a tone of anguish. The king declared to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, and they have not harmed me because I was found blameless before him. And also before you, O king, I have done no harm. Then the king was exceedingly glad and commanded that Daniel be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no kind of harm was found on him, because he had trusted in his God. And the king commanded, and those men who had maliciously accused Daniel were brought and cast into the den of lions, they, their children, and their wives. And before they reached the bottom of the den, the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces. Then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, "Peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in all my royal dominion, people are to tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is a living God, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed, and his dominion shall be to the end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. He who has saved Daniel from the power of the lions." So this Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. So as we stop there, the last thing in the notes today is that courage comes through constant trust in the Lord. Courage comes through constant trust in the Lord. Think about Daniel's story so far. Over and over again, he's put into situations where his life is going to be at stake. And he's either has to make a choice. Am I going to be faithful to God and serve God, or am I going to succumb to the pressures of the world and not have to fear my life? He cared more about his relationship with God and being faithful to God than he did his own life. And what we learn from Daniel time and time again is that courage comes not from the absence of struggle, because here's the thing, if we were to look at our life today, we understand that we will have struggle in our life. We will have hard times. And just because we put our faith in the Lord doesn't mean that God's going to automatically take that away. You see, Daniel, he knew that if he prayed to God the way he always has, then he might lose his life over it. But yet he continued to pray and he continued to serve the Lord. But I would encourage you that even though there may not be an absence of struggle and hardship in our life, that we have a God that we can trust through that hardship and through that struggle. We know that he's with us every step of the way. It's interesting because the phrases fear not or do not be afraid is actually repeated in the Bible over 70 times. We see it all throughout. Let me read you a few verses that talk about this. Joshua 1:9 says, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Philippians 4:13, and this is taken out of context a lot of times, but it says this, "I can do all things through him who strengthens me." Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And then one last verse, 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." You see, time and time again, we're told not to fear. Why? Because we know who has our life in this world in his hands. And when we are obedient to him, when we serve him, when we recognize that he wants to be the center of our life, it may put us in some difficult circumstances. It may bring about suffering in our life. But at the end of the day, God is still honored and glorified by the way we serve him. And nothing will bring us more joy and more peace and more hope in the midst of those trials, in the midst of those struggles, than when we worship God more than anything else. When we love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind and our strength, we will make habits where we will be devoted to him no matter what. And it's not out of necessarily a duty mindset where we feel like we have to or we're going to get zapped. It's out of that love we have for him. See, Daniel loved God more than he loved anything else, including his own safety and his own life. And I want to encourage you guys today that no matter how uncertain things may get in your life, how shaky things may seem, how difficult things may be, just know that God is there walking with you through that, just like he was with Daniel. God would have been just as glorified as if Daniel wouldn't have made it out of the lion's den. But the fact that we can read this story now and see how Daniel was faithful to God and see these incredible stories of courage, but also the incredible story of how God used Daniel for his glory over and over again, it's just incredible. I'll share one last illustration and then we'll kind of wrap up. But my family, we love to go to the beach every year. We go over fall break. Our beach is Hilton Head Island, South Carolina, and it's kind of cool because I grew up going there as a kid, so it's fun taking my son there and making memories with him. When my son was, this was probably 5 years ago. We've gone ever since he was a baby. When probably 5 years ago when he was just a toddler, he loves the ocean, loves playing in the water, you know, jumping in the waves, right? And so my wife, he and I, we're all like fair skinned, so we can't stay on the beach all day because we get burnt to a tomato. But we were playing in the ocean, and it's Hilton Head. The waves aren't that big, but as a little kid, every time he'd go out in the waves, they'd kind of knock him down. And as my son was playing in the waves, I was standing there right there with him. So like anytime he got knocked down by a wave, he knew he could grab my hand and I could rescue him out of the water because it was like over his head at the time. I tell you that illustration because my son Isaiah knew that no matter how many times he got thrown down by the waves or went underwater, that his dad was standing right there with him through that. I compare that spiritually through our relationship with Christ. When we go through waves of life, when we go through difficult times, it doesn't mean because our faith is in God that we're going to be rescued from those things automatically. But what it does mean is that we have a Savior, a loving Father going through those things with us that is ready to extend grace and mercy to us when we're going through those things. And we put our hope and our trust knowing that we can find our courage in Him. Courage doesn't come from ourselves. Courage doesn't come from our current situation, but courage comes from Jesus. And so when we look at this story of Daniel and see Daniel being used by God, man, it's incredible to know that the God we serve is always with us, that we have no reason to fear. When things in our life are shaky, when things change, man, God is there. And so I'm going to ask the praise team to come back up, and they're going to lead us in a closing song, kind of a response time. If you are going through something today, I just want to ask you this, and this is the question I'll kind of leave it with, and then I'm going to say a few closing remarks, but who or what are you finding your courage in today? Are you finding your courage in your current situation? Are you finding your courage in a person? Are you finding your courage in, I don't know, it could be yourself, a million things other than Christ, or is your courage from the Lord? I would challenge you that if your courage is from anything else besides the Lord, that type of courage is going to fall short every single time, that it's not going to be a solid foundation. And I pray this afternoon that, number one, if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, man, just know that you have to recognize you're a sinner in need of a Savior, that you have fallen short of His standard, fallen short of His glory. But Jesus came, lived a perfect life, died on a cross for your sins, and then was resurrected. And He offers that extent of grace to anybody who will accept it. Anybody that would call upon His name can come to know Him as our Lord and Savior. Maybe you're there today, and maybe you just need to surrender your life to Christ. But listen, when we serve the Lord and we follow Him, it is a lifelong process of growth. And I would encourage you guys, if you're going through that hard time right now, you may be going through a hard time in the future, you may be coming out of a hard time, but just know that God is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. So we can hope in that for the rest of our life. Genuine courage comes through knowing the Lord and living for Him every day of our life. Will you go to the Lord in prayer with me? Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for this day. Father, I thank You so much for just opening Your word today and seeing the story of Daniel in the lion's den. There's so much meaning. There's so many truths and gospel truths in this story, Father, that I pray that we will apply to our life. Lord, I pray that if there's anybody in this room today who's going through a hard time and they're trying to find their courage and just getting through it on their own, Father, just convict them and remind them, Father, that they are nothing without You. Father, none of us are anything without You. We need You in our life every single day. And so, Father, I just pray that You do a mighty work in our hearts, in our lives, and that You just help us to draw close to You every day, even when it may lead us down some persecution or a difficult path, Lord. But let us understand, Father, that it's more important to have our faith in You more than it is to fear man. Father, even if our life is at stake like Daniel's was, Father, You are good and You are holy and You are perfect and You are worth us centering our life on. Because, Father, You are the only one worthy of our worship. So, Father, again, thank You so much for Your word. Thank You for stories like Daniel and the lion's den that teach us just the importance of being devoted to You and knowing that You love us and You care for us and that no matter what, You're going to be there for us, even in those hard times. It's in your holy, most precious name I pray.